gets mad at them or says something to them or does something to them, and they wear that as a badge of honor and say, we're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's not the case. Righteousness is doing it, saying the right thing the right way, in the right spirit. If we do it that way, then the end here, when it talks about great is our reward, we can have joy and peace in the midst of it and praise God because of it, because we know that the end result is a great reward. But we got to be sure that we're being persecuted for the right reasons. So the persecution can be for poor causes, but the proper cause, which we see in our text before us, it says in verse number 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The word righteousness there is talking about a practical righteousness. What that means is living a godly life or doing what pleases the Lord. And we see, because this is the culmination of verses 1 through 12, we see what living a righteous life looks like in the verses before this. Verse number 3 is where we'll begin. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we see a lot of paradoxes in this chapter here. Most of the time, you're not happy if you're sad. That's what they said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What that means is blessed is somebody who has a proper perspective of themselves. Because if we're ever going to do anything for God, if He's ever going to do anything through us, then we need a proper view of ourselves. And we're never going to live a righteous life, much less be persecuted for righteousness' sake, until we get the blessed are the poor in spirit. Then verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. What that means is those that mourn over their sin. See, somebody's going to live a righteous life, you've got to first mourn over your sin. And what I mean by that is not sorry I got caught or Lord please forgive me for doing that, but an absolute brokenness over the fact that you have sinned against a holy God that sent His Son, His perfect Son, to live and die, be buried and rise again for you. See, somebody, when the Lord really begins to work in their life, the first step is Him breaking them. That's what He did for me. The first step to us being what God wants us to be is Him absolutely breaking us. See that in the life of Isaiah, godly man. But what do we see? The Lord shows up and He literally says, I'm falling apart at the seams. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. See, if we're going to live a righteous life, we've got to be poor in spirit, have a proper perspective of ourselves, mourn over our sin. And notice it says there, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn. Then it says, blessed are the meek. We've talked about that power under control. So not somebody living in arrogance, but living in humility, understanding who we are, what we deserve, and by God's grace, living and serving Him in that spirit, like Moses. Great example in the Bible. Very powerful man by God's grace. But one of the meekest men to ever live. And that's what we need to, and as we get closer to the Lord, we don't poke our chest out more and stand a little taller, but I believe our head hangs a little lower. I believe we get a proper perspective of ourselves and we live in meekness, understanding how awful and wicked and nasty we are and incapable of doing or being anything for God apart from Him. And that's when God can use us special. When we got a proper view of ourselves and we live in meekness, walking around and our head hung low, knowing that apart from God, we're nothing. So we see, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That means people who are starving to do what pleases the Lord. There aren't many people in churches today starving. We think of being a thirsting as in, man, I'm thirsty, I'm going to go to the fridge and get a drink. No, this thirst that's being painted here is someone across the world who has no access to water and has not drank for days, and they are about to die. They are so thirsty. That's the thirst that we are, the blessed person has. An absolute, that's all you can think about, that's all you want, that's all you desire. See, but the reason that most people in churches today don't have that is because they're not poor in spirit. They've not mourned over their sin. They're not living in meekness. And if you don't have a proper view of yourself, you're not going to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because you're going to already think you are. What did the Pharisees do? Paul said, bring me fruit worthy of repentance. In their mind, they didn't need repentance. But when you get a proper view of yourself, which means when we get a proper view of God, we'll get a proper view of ourselves. And then we see what He did for us. And when we know exactly who we were and what He did for us, that'll give us an absolute starvation and thirst to do what pleases Him. So the reason many church people today don't have a desire to live for God with all their heart is because they got a big view of themselves, a small view of God. But when we get a big view of God, a small view of ourselves, we'll hunger and thirst to do what pleases Him. So it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And this is the product of that. Blessed are the merciful. That means giving people what they are not giving people what they deserve. See, a child of God can look at somebody who has wronged them terribly and probably deserves bad repercussions. But because great mercy has been shown to us, by God's grace, we can show mercy to them. And what a light for the gospel that is. What a picture of righteousness that is. So we see there, they demonstrate mercy. Then it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart, someone who's mourned over their sin. Come completely clean with the Lord. Got a pure and clean heart. Loving God, living for God. And it goes on, blessed are the peacemakers. See, there aren't many of those in the world we live in today, are they? There's people who want to stir up stuff. Go watch the news. There was something happened just like that the other day somewhere where there's some kind of police compound thing. They weren't peacemakers. They're destruction makers. But God's people, in the midst of that destruction, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Those who I read the other day, when they hit you on the cheek, you turn the other one. They take your coat, you give them your cloak. People who respond in love and not in anger. See, but people are not going to respond that way until we have been meek, until we've mourned over our sin, until we've been poor in spirit. Then it says, see, that's the picture that's painted. The person, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then you would think, when you do what makes the Lord happy and then makes you blessed, that you think the end result would be a lot of money and things to go great and you to have a nice mansion in heaven and nothing ever to go wrong. But what does God say next? He says, if you do it right, this is what's going to happen. He says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You do it right, you're going to be persecuted. When I see persecuted now, part of it is people throwing off on you and bad-mouthing you, but I mean your life is at stake before the cause of Christ. It says, blessed are they who are persecuted for... Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Guess what? Do it right, and you're going to suffer. But we see here in this text, when you do it right, by God's grace, and you suffer, it will drive you to praise. Because you have been counted worthy to suffer because you did it the way God prescribed. The perfect example was who? Our Lord Jesus. And He suffered the worst. And He says, why should we expect any less than Him? See, the question we need to ask ourselves today is, why aren't we suffering? That's a sobering thought. I mean there's people, a lot of people go to church, a lot of people carry a Bible. But not many of us are suffering. Now, we're also in the Bible Belt. I understand that. We're not in a country around the world. We're not where our brothers in India are. And they are suffering. Their life is on the line for the cause of Christ because they're doing it right. But let's not think just because it's not here yet that it's not going to be. Look at the landscape of the way everything is turning. America is not turning to God. They're turning away from God. And you can believe any, or you can participate in any religion but true Christianity. And if we're not careful, our flesh hears that and says, well, I don't want to be a part of that. But our spirit says, yes, you do. Because there's a special reward in heaven for those that suffer for righteousness' sake. Then it says below that, it says, for my sake. Suffer, you're suffering for Jesus. What an honor that the one who gave his very life for us found us worthy enough to suffer for him. That word persecution there, I'm kind of throwing my outline out the door, but that word persecution there paints a picture of being run out of town, being chased. Hey, guess what? You live for God. You're going to be ran out of some circles. People are going to, they're going to separate themselves from you. They're not going to want to be around you anymore. They're not going to invite you to the parties or to this or that anymore. And when that happens, don't get sad. Raise your hand and say, pray, thank you, Lord, that I'm counted worthy, that they don't want to be around me anymore because I am being what you want me to be. Amen. May God help us to live in such a way that we would be counted worthy to suffer for Him. That's the least we could do for Him. And so we see those. That's the cause of persecution for righteousness' sake. And that's the only way. That's the only type. Only time where we're going to get a reward for it is if we suffer for righteousness' sake, for Jesus' sake. Then we see the different types broken down in our text. Now we see persecution talks about reviling, talks about lying. We all kind of know what all those things mean. But we see the conclusion. How should we respond to that? We see here within our text very quickly, and I'll be done. It says, blessed, that means happy, joyous are they. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Listen to this, rejoice! Yes. Hey, when we get persecuted, that word rejoice, it literally means, then it says be exceeding glad. That means to experience a state of great joy and gladness, often involving verbal expression and appropriate bodily movement. That's what that means. Hey, when we suffer for, what did the disciples do when they were beat within an inch of their life? Did they say, oh my goodness, we're going to hang it up? I don't want to do this anymore because we're suffering for Jesus. No, they probably, their backs and bodies were probably bruised and bleeding, but they were shouting, the Bible says, and praising that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. But we got to live a righteous life. And if we're going to do that, we need to follow the outline of the first 8 verses. And why should we respond that way? First, because persecution, it drives us to the Savior. It'll drive you to Jesus. Persecution, it'll drive you closer to the Lord because you're suffering for Him. Not only will it drive us to Jesus, thank the Lord, it will detach us from this sinful world. It won't want to make us be more like the world. It'll want to make us be less like the world. It'll make us want to separate even further. And that's what the Lord wants. And then, another, and what a great one here, it demonstrates we are saved. When you say, hey, no lost man or woman is going to suffer for the cause of Christ in the right way. But when you live a righteous life, you're suffering for His sake, it's assurance, you're His. You're a child of God. And we see the products there, but we see the promise, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For great is your reward in heaven. This side of heaven, you may lose everything for Jesus. Guess what? You're gaining it all in heaven. All you're doing is building your heavenly bank account, which is what we should be doing anyways. In this life, if we're not careful, we get too focused on padding our pockets and our bank account. But hey, we need to be as focused or more so on building our heavenly bank account so that one day we can take all that and lay it at the feet of our Savior in thanks and praise and worship for all that He did for us. Hey, we do it right, one day we'll get to praise Him for persecution. That He counted us worthy. Me. I don't know you as much as I know, as well as I know me, but I know me. When I'm persecuted, if He counted me worthy to do that, me, praise the Lord. It means by His grace I did what He wanted me to. May God help us, by His grace, to strive to live a righteous life. And if we do, guess what? You're going to be persecuted. But when you are, you'll be blessed, joyous, exceeding glad. The Christian life is filled with paradoxes. But I thank the Lord, if we'll do it right, He'll be with us. And when we're in the midst of pain, it could be some of the moments of greatest joy. That's what it's saying here. May God help us. May God help us to live a righteous life so we can suffer for the cause of Christ. It means we're counted worthy. May the Lord help us. What a sobering thought. What a challenging thought. But if He counts us worthy, blessed are they. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What a group of company to be in. Anybody that lives for God, we're going to suffer. But when we suffer, it makes Him happy. And what makes him happy should make us happy. Amen. May God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your Word. God, please give us the grace to live a righteous, a holy life. Give us the grace to see ourselves as we should. Give us the grace to mourn over our sin. Give us the grace to live a life of meekness. Give us the grace to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I praise Your name, Lord. If we will be filled. And Lord, if we do that, we will suffer. But Lord, if we suffer, the joy. If we suffer for Your sake, the joy, the peace, the gladness we will have. Doesn't make any sense this side of heaven. Doesn't make any sense to our flesh. But Lord, our spirit, my spirit tonight is crying, that's right. That's true. That's what we should desire, to live a righteous life that pleases You. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed. We don't normally do this on Wednesdays, but as there's one praying on the altar, maybe you want to come to the altar tonight. Ask God to give you the grace to do it in a way that pleases Him. To live a truly righteous life. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. May it not just be words in our ears, but may it find a lodging place in our heart. I pray, Lord, that You'd give us the grace to live it. And if You count us worthy to suffer for You, I pray give us the grace to endure, but to endure in such a way that it points people to You even as we're going through it. And I know in the end there will be a great reward we can offer back to You. I love You, Jesus, and I pray this in Your holy name. Amen.